Lord, by thy grace we have assembled this evening. We thank thee for this evening. We thank thee for this day that thou hast given and watched us through it, O Lord, and has brought us together around thy word in this midweek to take our thoughts and the concerns that we have, that we struggle with on a daily basis in this life, O Lord, that we can pause and come together as a brotherhood to read thy word and to meditate upon thy truth, the truth of life. We pray, O Lord, a blessing upon each one of us who is able to come this evening, that thou would bless our gathering, bless the reading and the meditation of thy word, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading, let's, with God's help, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, and let's begin with verse number 35 and read till through 39. Matthew 24, verses 35 through 39. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Dear ones, in the portion of scripture that we read here, it's an exhortation to be ready. And so this reading that we had here is really one that is applicable to every one of us here who understand, are old enough to understand the reading of the word here. It applies to those of us who are in Christ. It applies to those of you, our dear friends, who are yet outside of Christ Jesus. And as Jesus is issuing this warning here, you know, a lot of times we spend much time, and it's time that is very needed to study and to know, because Jesus says he asks us that we might know him, so to learn of him, to learn who he is, and to fashion our life in accordance to him and his will. And he has given man that choice, a decision that we will make whether we will follow him or not. And he gives warnings. And he gives a definite, defining warning here as he talks about being ready and being and really just paralleling the society of Noah's time to the coming of Christ. So this age is being a parallel to the days of Noah. And also, I believe it is in another gospel, he speaks of the society that Lot lived in, and he likens the generations that we are in now to that. So the times of Noah, we know are vile. The times of Lot are vile. Those are perverted societies. He parallels the coming of the Son of Man to those times. And we can just read here what it says. It says the Lord or God saw that the wickedness of man, this is now speaking to the days of Noah, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the wickedness of man. It was great. The only thought was one of evil continually. And it says, and the Lord says, I will destroy man who have I created from the face of the earth. But it also tells us then, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God, just as Enoch walked with God. And isn't that what God is asking of us today, to walk with him? One who walks with the Lord is one who is known of the Lord, who is just and perfect in his day. If we walk with the Lord, we are perfect. That's what Noah was. That's what Enoch was. And we have to consider that the days of Noah were, they lived to be hundreds of years old, 900 years they lived. And Noah walked with God. And so as we read this here, it tells us that the heavens and the earth will pass away. This is a guarantee spoken by God that the heaven and the earth will pass away. In other words, everything that we see will, it says the heavens will roll up like a scroll. Everything, it's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Everything will be new. Nothing that we see will exist. It will all pass away. And yet he says that one thing remains, and that is his word. A word that never changes. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same tomorrow and forever. And it says Jesus is the Word. And the Word, it says, it will remain. The one thing that will remain is his Word. And it is upon his Word that we will be judged. Our acceptance of him or rejection of him, just as the days of Lot and Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We will make choices, how we will live, who we will follow, whether we will be in Christ or whether we will be out of Christ. And we have, and as we read this, we also see that Jesus does not talk about the way the book of Genesis describes that people in the times of Noah. He simply says, he doesn't bring about all of their vileness and how evil they were. Here he simply says, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. So here he is describing things that are quite normal. This does not describe a people that is vile and wicked, and every thought of their heart is only evil continually. He speaks of those things that are honorable, marriage, drinking and marrying. I mean, those are things that we all do, eating. He's not describing evil here. But he describes something here that he says, when the flood came, it took them all away. There was many different types of men in that day, just as there are today. The only distinguishing characteristic that we can gather from the men of the days of Noah, who were in the ark and who were out of the ark, is exactly that. Those who were in the ark followed God. They listened to him. The people that were outside of the ark, are whether they were perverted in their thoughts or whether they were eating and drinking and marrying and doing the things that look to society as things that are acceptable, it didn't matter. It did not matter. They were outside of the ark, and it was a choice that they made, because the preacher of righteousness, Noah, preached. He preached. He preached the word, and it was ignored. It was largely ignored. Man figured out for himself. There could have been men there that claimed that they believed, but they waited. They waited. It was a long time in building the ark. Years, decades rolled by. And did people put off for another day? Did they simply not believe? Well, the Bible describes anyone who is not walking with Christ as one who does not believe. Though he could call himself a Christian, though he could be baptized, though he could be a member of a church, if he does not walk with Christ, he is not a believer. To believe, dear ones, is a faith that saves us. We are in Christ when we believe. And when we walk with Christ, we are saved. We look at as it says here, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what do we read in the days of Noah? What was happening? They were marrying, eating, drinking. There were those who were living very perverted lives. There were those who ignored the preaching of Noah. They did not want to enter into the ark. Just as today, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus goes out. And there are those who do not want to enter into Christ, to be in Christ. That alone will save us from the deluge of the fire that will come. What is it today that God is looking upon? Can he see a people, a creation of his that is any different than that of Lot's and Noah's times? Is there any difference? Can we point to something that is different than theirs? But Jesus says it's going to be the same. The people are the same. And the coming of Christ will be the same as the brimstone and fire that came to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, same as the floods that came to destroy the world in the time of Noah. Men who were extremely wealthy, relied upon their wealth, used it to better themselves and their life at the complete disregard of their fellow man, were caught in that flood. Men of extreme poverty. It didn't matter. Poverty did not usher someone closer to heaven. Richness, wealth didn't automatically guarantee them a better standing. And it wasn't what ushered them into the waters of hell. It was the fact that the preaching of Noah was ignored. And that equalizer, the equalizer of men, whether they are, you know, today, just as then, so today, man is caught up in the gross materialism and humanism that exists today as it did then. Man is caught up in that. And when you're caught up in that, you take your eyes off of Jesus. When your eyes are off of Jesus, you cannot know him. You cannot walk with him. You can call yourself whatever you want. You can pray as many times a day as you want. It doesn't matter. Are our eyes on him? Is my life then one that can be said by the Lord, he is walking with me? When we walk with Jesus, we can't go some places. We can't go there. If you're walking with Jesus, you're not going to go certain places. You're not going to go fix your eyes upon certain things. You're not going to listen to certain types of music. You're not going to be watching certain types of films. You can't go there with Jesus. He won't go there. So you're going to go alone. When you go alone, you are not with him. It cannot be said, I am walking with God as I'm going into places and entertaining in things that God will not go with me there. He warns me against those things. Don't do those things. And if I ignore him, how then can it be said of me that I am walking with God? He continues to walk. I veer off the path. Why did Noah find grace in the sight of the Lord? Why? He found grace. He found something that he did not deserve. But he believed the way of salvation. And he walked with his God. And because of that, he found grace. Dear ones, it's no different today. When we believe God and we walk with him, we find grace. We have to act upon our faith. Noah acted upon his faith, and that's why he found grace. And that's why he was in the ark. And dear ones, when we are in Christ, we find that in the ark, what did Noah do? Nothing. Nothing. Everything that he needed for sustenance was there. He didn't lack anything. In Christ, dear ones, we have to believe that we lack nothing. Are we going to say that in Christ we're not going to have what it takes to stay faithful? We're not going to have what it takes to, that he can't keep us. It says that he lost not one of his disciples except the son of perdition. One who chose. And so, dear ones, when we choose him, we are in him. He is everything that we need. We will lack nothing. But the people here lacked, and what they lacked is they didn't walk with God. And it says, and it tells us here why. It says, and they knew not. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. All. There wasn't someone who was found, well, you know, he wasn't as bad as some of these others. He lived a moral life, or he lived a moral life. It didn't matter. They were all, it says, the flood came and took them all away. There's going to be a flood that will return, not in a water sense, but it will take away everyone. Just as those who were not in the ark, those who are not in Christ. Now the question is, are we in Christ or do we just claim that we are in Christ? And those are the things that the Word of God reveals to us if we care to know. Or are we going to be the ones that have said they knew not? And Peter tells us if we know not, it says they willingly are ignorant. Willingly are ignorant. Why? Because the plan of salvation, the gospel is so simple. And what is so simple about it is the life of Christ. The life of Christ is simple, but the life of Christ is not one that draws man in the flesh too. It doesn't draw flesh to that. No, the flesh has to go away. It has to die. We have to overcome the flesh in order to be able to know him, to walk with him, to be saved from that judgment day that will come. They knew not until the flood came. When the flood came, what happened? There was no escape. There was no escape. They saw the destruction coming. They saw the heavens open, something they never saw in their life before. Rain. They saw it raining. What is this? The water's rising. They remembered Noah's preaching. Now suddenly, the rush for riches, the rush for lusts, the rush for pride, to be somebody, to all those the rush for those things ended instantly. There's a problem, and there's no way out. There's no way out. And Jesus says, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Why is God not bringing this to happen yet? What do we think is holding God back? Is the earth not ripe for this to take place? Man will be eating and drinking, marrying, given to marriage, living their life, and the coming of the Son of Man will be. He won't need John the Baptist as a herald. The trumpet will sound. No one needs to be told, hey, he's coming. Everyone will know. Everyone knew when the clouds let out the rain what was taking place. They knew judgment was here. Nothing they could do. Because the times that the gospel was being preached, it was ignored. It was ignored for the pursuit of self. Thinking, being deceived. Being deceived by Satan to feel and to believe that there is something good in this life for me. Something that is good for me. We believe it. We're deceived. And then the trumpet, the shout, the archangel, the voice will be heard. There's no mistaking. Jesus is coming. Dear ones, the thought of that, you know, to a believer is beautiful. One who is in Christ, Paul always described it as a moment that he lived for. He lived for that moment when he will be with Christ. That was his life. You know, as those who are in Christ, that has to be what we live for. If we find ourselves living for anything else, and Christ and His Word are neglected in order to pursue something else, and now we can think, well, what? Well, anything that has to do with self. When I pursue something for self, it's going to come at a great cost. Because Jesus came to save us from our sin. The choice is ours whether we will accept Him or reject Him. He will always leave man with that choice until there is time no more. When will that be? You know, when I was a teenager, I didn't think that I'd live to be into my mid-50s. I didn't. Why? I just didn't think that it would happen. And there are many who didn't get to their mid-50s. Many who didn't. But I actually thought that the end of the world would take place and come. Jesus, this we're reading, I thought it would be here. And I know there are those who are in their 80s who also never thought that they would live to see this. So do you, young man, young lady, think that you'll live to get into your 80s. That's 60 years down the road. What's going to take place? You think, that might not happen, right? Well, who's to say the next 40 years will take place, or 20, or 10, or 5, or 1? What's the difference between the next 60, or the next year, or the next day? It doesn't tell us, try to figure out. It just says, obey. No. We can't be willingly ignorant. When we know of Jesus, we cannot be willingly ignorant so that we can have a lesser judgment because I didn't know. No, when we hear of Jesus and we don't want to know more, we've rejected him. And so, my dear brothers and sisters and my dear friends, all of us in this evening, it is my prayer that every one of us would really consider is the gross humanism, materialism of this world, the perversions that are in it, is that a part of, is there anything in that that has my eye fixed on that? If my eye is fixed on any of that, it is off of Christ. It is off of him. It's off. And when your eye is off of him, you cannot be walking with him. Cannot. And so, dear ones, Jesus spoke this as an exhortation to get ready. It's an exhortation to get ready for that day when he will come. No herald will be needed. We will hear him. And we will know that our redemption is drawing nigh, or that our judgment has arrived. The choice is ours, whether we will look up to the skies with joy and gladness, just as Jesus was there standing at the throne, welcoming the first martyr, Stephen, who saw him, so that we also would in that same light see him, knowing that he has come to take us home. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.